So I guess I want to start by coming clean about the fact that even though it says in the agenda that this is going to be about physician health, it kind of is, but kind of not. So this is the title that Brenda and I decided on eventually, because we wanted to make sure that it was somehow aligned with the theme of the conference about patient medical home and collaborative interprofessional practice. And we just didn't think that, you know, kind of going full on about physician health made sense in that context. So we're trying to do something that is certainly relevant to physician health, but not 100% about that. And is much more about how you're defining wellness in the community context. So let's see, there we go. So these are my disclosures. There's really nothing. I always like to do kind of a full-on disclosure and tell you everything you might think is relevant, but I am the executive director of the Physician Health Program. I don't get any incentives for case volume. I'm not trying to drum up business for us, and I'm not paid fee for service. So what are the things that I'm hoping to help you achieve today? I want you to kind of know some way or like test out a way to reflect appreciatively on how your community is doing. So not, and we'll see in a minute, I'm defining community however you want it to be defined. So, but I'd like it to be something that's outside of yourself. So this isn't so much about how to reflect on how you as a person are doing and your individual wellness. It's, we're trying to zero in on how are you going to reflect on your community context. And I'd like you to feel, we can't, as with everything, even though we're spending an hour and a half on something that seems pretty simple, there's lots more we could do, so I'm hoping that a success measure of this will be that you're inspired to actually learn more about it and take it further. And also that you might be inspired to actually do something, you know, that you might be inspired to either contribute to the well-being of another community, or that you might be inspired to reach out to another community to help you, yours get better, improve more. So how are we going to do that? What's going to be our kind of way of going about that? Well, the first part is going to be, I want to just sort of connect about why I think this is relevant to the theme of the conference. And then there's a handout on your tables that looks kind of like this. It's a piece of paper. So if you could sort of just find that, we're going to use that, but don't fill it in just yet. And so the first bit of this is going to be a little bit of a, I would call it a guided individual reflection about a community context. So I'm going to take you through step by step every piece on that paper. So don't fill it out until I invite you to. And then we're going to fill it out together, and then we'll kind of share what we individually reflected as a group. And what the point of this is not so much to discover where we're weak, but to kind of find out where we think we're strong, right? So it's to uncover sources of relative strength. So we're really trying to overcome a little bit of negativity bias that we all have, and that doctors have in particular, about finding the problem and fixing it. So we're gonna try to zero in on the areas where, to get to the areas where we think we are doing well. And then we're also going to, at the very end, look at what are our opportunities to take the areas where we're strong and help other people become as strong as we are, which is what we do a lot of time in medicine anyway. So why do we think it was a good idea to talk about this now in the context of the patient medical home and all that stuff that's going on? So what we're essentially going to be hoping to do is create multiple interprofessional environments all across the province. And in many ways, they're all going to be somewhat the same, but they're all going to have their own unique features. And so we can anticipate that progress, however we define progress, is going to be uneven. Some places will be thriving, and some of them will not be doing as well as others. And how do we want to see that environment? How do we want to be thinking about the fact that we launched an initiative and it took off better in some places than others? So, and the other kind of thing that we want to try to challenge our thinking about is when we're very focused as physicians, we see patients one at a time. In family medicine, you actually get away from that a bit. You see families. But even so, it's, you know, the proportion of visits that are actually family visits is low. So we tend to get our thinking about wellness tends naturally to gravitate towards the individual as the unit of measurement. And what we want to try to do is blow that up a bit, not blow up like an explosion, but as a balloon. It just expand it. And so take it all to the context of the team that you're in, the interprofessional team that you're either in right now or might be in soon, and how to reflect on the wellness of a team or reflect on the wellness of a system. How well is our system doing? Okay. So now I'm going to invite you to pull out that handout and a pen, and we're going to get ready to mark it up. So the first thing at the top of the forum there, you'll see that I'm saying, my medical community is, and I would like to invite you to, if you don't consider yourself part of a medical community, then just rub that out. I want you to try to think of an environment that is somehow working people more than yourself, right? So if you can be your team at work or whatever your context is, but it should be a work context, not a family context. And it should be include people other than you who are kind of interacting to achieve some kind of goal. And so that's what I'd like you to think of as your medical community. So you decide what it is. Now, at the end of this, we're hoping that you will be willing to share these pieces of paper with us, because we would like to collect them all in and tabulate them and reflect them back to you. But we're inviting you not to put your name on it, because we want you to be really honest about this. And so if there's some barrier to being honest that would come from attaching your name to something, then just don't put your name on it. Just write down the definition that you're going to think of, though, for the rest of this session. Okay, so we fill out the my community is, because we're going to think about that community a lot. So figure it out. Now, so think, we want to make sure that you feel free to express yourself. This is your opinion. So please don't get hung up on how would I really know. I want you to really kind of tune into your subjective impression. We're not asking you to think about how I would really know whether my community is doing well. We're trying to figure out how you think. What do you think? So your gut feelings. And then finally, we're asking you to kind of also move to see however you've defined your community. We want you to see it in relation to other similar ones in British Columbia. So that's the context that we're trying to get you to imagine. Because we're going to ask you to compare what you think about your medical community, however you've defined it, in relation to other ones in British Columbia. So you can see we're really trying to move you past thinking about your own individual wellness and going to the wellness of a group in the context of other similar groups. That's where we're aiming. Okay, and then what we're going to do is for each of a bunch of domains, there's a scale there, a line, and we're going to invite you to put an X or some kind of mark on the line that says whether you think in this particular domain, and we're going to go through each one and talk about what it means, do you think that your community as you've imagined it and defined it is among the best in BC in this area? Is it about average or is it among the worst? Okay, so let's say, for example, you had decided that your community for whatever domain this is it's a little better than average. I'm not sure it's one of the best, definitely not one of the worst. I'm going to put the X there. So is that making sense to everyone? Anybody think confused at this point? Okay, right, we're ready to launch. So the one on the very leftmost, I'm going to attempt to use the laser pointer. This is telling you that this is the line on the left. The first question is, how well do you think your community does at fostering joy in medicine? Now, if you have chosen to think about a community that isn't involved in medicine, just take out the in medicine part. How well do you think that your community does in terms of fostering joy? Now, I want to talk about what I mean by joy. And so those of you who know me know that I'm a little bit of a nerd, and I like to kind of look up literature stuff about how other people who have researched the phenomenon of joy have defined it. And so this is one that I particularly like. These guys, Huta and Veronica Huta and Richard Ryan, have defined joy as kind of a balance between this sense of carefree pleasure, you know, being able to kind of just take my hands off the handlebars and cruise. Things are going well. This is totally in my zone. And meaning and purpose. So if you can imagine that something that you find kind of easy to do, you want a little bit of a balance of that. I can just sort of go with the flow. This is sort of not too hard. I just enjoy it and I like it. I have positive vibes about it. But then if you only had that, but it was really not contributing in a meaningful way to anything, that's probably not the sense of joy that we're looking at. So the technical terms that they use for these are the hedonic and eudaimonic motive perspectives. That's a good article to read about the difference between those. So it's a balance between carefree pleasure and finding meaning and purpose. So now, here's my little trick. I'm going to say, go ahead and mark your X on where you think your community is in terms of finding joy in medicine. Or promoting, fostering joy in medicine, or whatever it is that you're doing. Okay, so next up, I want to talk about this concept of system resilience. So this is a little bit complex. There's lots of people talking about resilience these days. We heard it in the previous session about how children who grow up with a lot of adverse experiences tend to not be very resilient because they're so focused on fight and flight. So that it's a similar concept as we're using it here. And what we're trying to do is take it into a system context, not just about an individual person. But it's a capacity of any system. So if you're thinking about a holistic human being system, it's that system. But if it's a system that comprises multiple human beings, then it's that system. But it's the whole system to perform four functions with respect to adverse events. Planning and preparation, absorption, recovery, and adaptation. So you can think about that in terms of the adverse childhood experiences, if you like. But so a system that is highly resilient will be able to plan for adverse events, prepare for them. We know they're going to happen. And when they happen, we can absorb them. So the system has some kind of spare capacity so that whatever is pushing on it and stressing it, it can kind of absorb it and still carry on with its essential homeostatic functions while this adverse event is going on. Then after the adverse event is over, it can actually kind of bounce back. It can reintegrate. And this is the part where people, I think, who sort of do more of a cursory view of resilience just focus on the recovery part. But actually, there's more to resilience than just the recovering from an adverse event. So yes, you do have to be able to recover. And then also, you want to adapt. So learning from that adverse event that happened, preparing myself to go forward, it's back kind of looping back into the planning and preparation. So this is what I would like to invite us to think about when we're answering this question about our medical community. And it's different for, if you don't think about it carefully, you might think, well, my community is good at allowing me to be a resilient individual. But that's a different sense from what I'm meaning here. I'm trying to see if we can think about our whole, that group that you, the community that you put at the top of the paper, and think about that as the system as a whole. And if you think for a second about it, you'll see that resilience often exists as a trade-off with efficiency. So if you're really, really efficient at dealing with one kind of thing, like all the things that you anticipate doing, you can either tune your system to be really good at processing expected stuff, and then you probably won't have any capacity left over to deal with the unexpected adverse events. So people who study this stuff on a very macro or micro level like to point out that systems that are highly tuned for efficiency tend to not be so resilient. Anyway, so now with all that thinking in mind, please go ahead and put an X on the paper where you think your medical community, how you've defined it, how it lands for system resilience. I'm trying to not go too fast, like I'm trying to give everybody time to think about this stuff, but if you want more time, just tell me to slow down. Okay. So choice, I think everybody kind of understands what choice is. I don't have to explain the definition of it, but why am I asking about choice? Like, how does choice have to do with wellness of a community? Well, so one of my sort of favorite theories of wellness and human development is this one, self-determination theory, that's kind of a block of, it's not really so much a theory, it's a theory in the same way as the cell theory of biology is a theory. It's a theory that has tons of empirical backing. So one of the kind of concepts that they talk about is this idea of basic psychological needs. Choice is one of those. They call it autonomy, but I particularly don't like that word because to me autonomy implies disconnection from others. So I like to use the word choice. So choice is like a fundamental vitamin that if we don't have choice in our psychological environment, it's not a healthy psychological environment for us. So I would like to invite you now to put an X down about how your community is good at fostering or offering choice. The next couple are a little less complicated. So another one of these basic psychological needs is the need for progress. So we're not happy, we're not thriving psychologically if we're investing a lot of effort just to keep everything the same, right? It's unlike a lot of our kind of cellular biology, which is geared more to homeostasis, our psychological makeup tunes us towards making progress. We want to leave the world a better place than we found it. And if we get blocked in that, we're not psychologically healthy. So I would like to invite you now to think about how well do you think your medical community is doing at offering progress or achieving progress, giving you a sense that things are getting better. Okay, and finally, I asked this question as, what about collegiality? Why ask about that? So Ryan and DC, they use the term relatedness, and relatedness is a little bit different from collegiality, because collegiality has kind of shades of civility, interpersonal respect, stuff like that. Relatedness, the way that they talk about it, is more even just a sense of tuning into like meaning. If I have a sense that my actions are that mean something in a bigger context, but it's not completely different from collegiality. So I thought this one was sort of a better question to ask. So tell me by putting an X on your paper about where you think your community ranks in terms of collegiality amongst others of its kind in BC. Okay, so you're doing well, but you're not promoting it. Oh, as a division, okay. Right, so that would mean that you might answer it differently depending on what you wrote on the top of your paper. So if you thought the medical community in Cowichan is this, but the Division of Family Practice is different, so you might give a different answer depending on what you wrote at the top. So I would just, if that's the case, encourage you to stick with what you chose at the beginning all the way through. Like if you started envisioning my Division of Family Practice, then stick with that. If you chose to talk about the people who work in my office, or maybe it's just me and my MOA, maybe that's your medical community, I don't know, but try to stick all the way through with the same group. Okay, so the next one up is psychological safety. So here I'm relying in particular on Amy Edmondson's definition of psychological safety, which I particularly like. And she defines it as the degree to which people view their environment as conducive to interpersonally risky behaviors like speaking up or asking for help. So this is probably, you can imagine, I think it all of us can imagine and have been in psychological environments where we felt we just had to kind of keep quiet and just, you know, just keep putting one foot in front of another. We don't dare speak up about anything, and we better not ask for help. We know those. And then we probably, I hope, that most of us can tune into an experience of, wow, this is awesome. I really feel free to share what's going on for me, whether that's being happy about what's going on, or whether it's calling attention to something that could be improved, or asking someone to help me. Those are environments that are high in psychological safety. So again, put an X on the line there to indicate where you think, relative to other communities in BC, your community ends up in that, how you promote or foster psychological safety. Okay, last one. So this is probably the most complicated, but I've been preparing you to answer this one throughout the rest of it. So I've asked you this question about the ratio of resources to demands. So I want to I have to kind of define what I mean by resources and what I mean by demands, and then you can think about the ratio. So the demands, this comes from a theory that you can read about down here. It's called the job demands resources theory. It sort of emerged from back in the sort of late 80s, early 90s. There was a bunch of American psychologists who were really working on trying to define occupational stress and strain, and they came up with this idea of job demands and control. So that was the first one. They called it a JDC theory. So they wanted to kind of figure out whether your job had certain demands and whether you had control. And it's interesting because physicians really didn't like that theory because according to that, physicians were almost never under job strain because of the control they had. So if you had high levels of control, you couldn't really ever qualify for job strain as a physician. So the theory got refined, and now basically what they talk about is demands are aspects of a job that require sustained physical or mental effort and are therefore associated with certain physiological and psychological costs. So they're sort of depletion things that deplete you physiologically and psychologically. Those are the demands. And the resources, it's not too difficult, are aspects of the job that may do any of the following. So they may help you achieve work goals. They may reduce the associated physiological and psychological costs of demands. And they may also stimulate personal growth and development. So those are considered resources in this theory. And interestingly, you can imagine that a job can have very low levels of both, right? It's not very demanding, doesn't supply many resources. That's a job that probably low likelihood of job strain, but also low likelihood of engagement, right? So to get engagement, you need high levels of resources and a modest to high level of demands, according to this theory, and it's got some empirical backing. And when you put yourself in the at risk for burnout is when you have high levels of demands and low levels of resources. So what I'm asking you to try to think about is, in your particular context, the one that you chose, where do you think this balance is? I can pretty much guarantee that if you're a physician, and there are lots of non-physicians in the room, but if you're a physician, you're probably going to be in a context where demands are high. So really what we're sort of saying for you guys is, how do you have resources that exceed the capacity for you to do your job? You're super well supported in doing all this very stressful work. Or because that probably leads to high levels of job satisfaction and engagement. So whereabouts are you in that ratio, and how do you think you compare to other medical communities that are like you? So anybody have any questions about that? That was kind of a lot of talking. Okay, so at this point, what you should have this thing kind of filled out, and you should have a mark on each of those lines that sort of says what you think about your community so far. I'm hoping, does anybody not have that or have questions about how to go forward from here? Okay. All right, so now comes the fun part. I want to invite everyone to kind of get up out of their chairs and kind of come over to this part of the room. Maybe you could just, can I mute this mic for a sec, or? Hello? Oh, okay, now we really have it on. Okay, so this is awesome. This is the good side. This is the positive flip side. How many people have heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect? The Kruger-Dunning effect? Okay, nope. Oh, okay. Yeah, Jeff has. So that's the effect that you get when you're doing psychological measurements and you ask people to rate their own competence or how well they're doing on something. And probably 80% of people will rate themselves above average, which is a good thing in this sense, because most people think their community is doing either average or better than average at fostering joy in medicine. There's only a few who think that they're below average. So I want to first ask a few people to tell me why you think you're here and where you're from and what's going on. Greg.
Oh, hi. I'm Greg Salinger. I'm from Penticton. With the divisions out there, and my medical community would be just the medical community, the doctors there, including specialists and family docs. And I think we do a lot of events, meet the doctor, or meet the specialist, and a lot of events where we do social things together to try to get everybody excited about medicine again.
Great, great. Okay. How about someone over here up at the top end of the spectrum?
I'm Catherine Texter. I'm from Prince George. And I think generally speaking, people feel very satisfied with the work. We have an opportunity to do full service medicine, and for a lot of people, that brings a lot of joy.
Okay, great. Connie, you are standing right at the very end.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
I think we have high joy partly because of divisions and the work we're doing with the patient medical home, and we've engaged specialists, hospitalists across the board, and I think there's a huge connection and huge excitement about the changes. So I think there's a lot of joy in our work.
Awesome, great. So now I don't want to completely ignore the people who are down at the other end. But they're disappearing as I come towards them. Okay, Bonnie, tell us a little bit about why you are standing where you are.
So I'm from the Comox Valley on the island, and I think that our community is a great medical community, but I just became co-chair of the division trying to encourage physician involvement, and it's really difficult because everybody's in there in little silos doing their own thing. We try to get them involved with things through the division, and nobody's really that interested.
Okay, so maybe, I'm curious, did you also rate yourself below on collegiality? Yeah, so because to me it sounds like the relatedness thing is an issue for you guys. Okay, so here's one of the main points of this, is for you to look at these people, to be, people that can help. No, it's not about promoting envy. It's really to say, these are the people who are probably quite motivated to help you. Who over there feels motivated to help Bonnie?
Oh, I'm motivated to help. It's my community.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Busy that
right, exactly. But these are people who think that their communities are doing well in that area. So that's what we're trying to kind of get to, is how do we spread your joy to this end of the spectrum? Yes.
I just have a question. How many unattached patients, or how many patients are looking for a physician that can't find one? Because our division, I'm Wendy Griffin from the Sunshine Coast. Yes, we're stealing Susan. Thank you. And 3 years ago, we would have been definitely more down at that end. But because we actually have 6 family physicians taking new patients, that has enabled our physicians to really do what they want to be doing, which is full service family practice and not being exhausted at the end of the day. So that's my question.
So there's an awesome success story, somebody who moved themselves along the scale. That's fantastic. Okay, so we're going to have time for you to discuss all of this a little bit more at your tables, but I just want to kind of give people a visual representation of what's going on here while we have everyone standing. So now I'd invite you to move to where you marked yourself on the maintaining system resilience scale. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. So people are moving around a little bit, but people are mostly staying on the kind of, we're pretty satisfied, with the exception of Peter. Whoa. You're not, no?
No,
this is, you're standing there, okay. Tell us a bit about why you're standing there, Peter.
I think I found the exercise a bit difficult, Dr. Clark. I think mostly because I'm not that smart, but also that, you know, in my role in Richmond, it's taken me a good 5 years to understand my community of doctors well enough to represent them to some degree, because I think it would be really arrogant for me to speak on their behalf without having a deep examination of how they feel about major issues. So I can't presume to understand all your communities in the same depth. So when you're asking me for a relative scaling of myself, I didn't feel I could do it. However, I judge myself, again, as many physicians do, on output. So when I look at my community and I see the relative lack of incoming new and engaged young physicians, dropping of hospital privileges, residential care being really minimalized, you know, in the full service environment, lack of doctors doing maternity care, I have to indict my leadership and say, I don't think I'm doing a good job. The other problem is I don't think I have an express mandate under the formation of divisions and the entirety of, you know, the push and pull from a big provincial, you know, hurricane to focus expressly on this right. concept, even though obviously from all of our presence here, it's dearly important to our hearts.
Okay. All right, who has something to offer Peter? Who has something that can respond to his perception of why he's where he is?
Well, you know, Peter, I would challenge you that you don't have the express mandate at the division level to do what you want to do, what you need to do in your community. Because one of the wonderful things, I think, about divisions of family practice is that they are not-for-profit organizations. They are owned by family physicians in the community. And you have autonomy as a division to focus on these things that are really, really important to you. And, you know, the funders and the GPSC and all the other people that come into play, they don't actually run the show. Like, the divisions, you run the show in your community. I mean, of course, you need funds and you need to figure out how to negotiate with all of those people to do what you need to do. So I would just challenge you that I think you can do that.
Okay, awesome. So you got a challenge there, Peter. Has anybody been where Peter is and got past it? Okay.
I think, so I come from Langley, BC, and one of the things that's been very hopeful for us recently is we now have two spots for training residents in our community. Up until recently, we've been training a lot of graduates who are international medical graduates who then have to do a return of service outside of our community, which has been very frustrating for us. Because we train them and then they leave. And we've had a really hard time getting people to come and set up a practice there. I'm one of, I mean, five people I can think of that have come in the last 5 years. We have so many people without a family doctor, but I think that's hopeful. And I don't know how they negotiated that. I don't know who did it, but I think that's the one. Yeah, I think that's been a real positive thing for us. And I think what often gets lost, like Richmond is similar to Langley, we're just outside the city, but those communities maybe are having a hard time attracting young doctors. And I think having them train in that community at the local hospital is the way to keep them there. So that's why I stayed in Langley. And so that's what I think places like Richmond need.
Awesome. Good advice. Oh, needs more housing. Yes, affordable housing, yeah. Yikes, yeah. No kidding. Okay, this is awesome discussion. I want to just like keep us moving through. So let's resort in terms of how your community stacks up in offering choice. What's interesting about this choice thing, people often associate, when they talk about burnout, they think about it as being the amount of hours you're working. But what's really the sort of key determinant of burnout is not so much the number of hours, but whether you're working the number of hours that you want to work, right? So if you're working more than you want, or even less than you want, that's a stressor, but it's about being able to choose how and in what setting. Okay, so we had a little bit of a drift down here. I'm gonna go back to this end. I like to always start up at the positive, and I'm gonna ask Scott to tell us why he's standing here.
Well, our community in Chilliwack, we like to support each other to do as much of a sort of full scope of practice as we can. So I think we really foster choice in that way. I have to say, honestly, I think it's one of those things that maybe we can have too much choice, and that, you know, a balance between hedonism and whatever the opposite word was, eudemism is. So the balance there, maybe that's a good future PSP module for how it applies to professionalism, but in general, we do a good job of supporting choice.
Okay, thank you for throwing in that reference to the two different components of joy. That was very good. Okay, now let's see what Kathleen has to say about why she's standing down here.
Actually, I just told Anne that if they're going to come and ask me, I'm going to pass the mic to her. We're from the same community. But, I've been there for... Yeah. Thank you. I've been in the community for longer than she has, and I don't know that I can articulate it as well. Campbell River.
Thanks, Anne. Okay. So in our community, all of our GPs, almost all of our GPs have hospital privileges, which is wonderful, but that's an expectation completely. So if somebody comes to the community and didn't want hospital privileges, I think they'd be shamed into having hospital privileges. So it'd be nice if it was just seen as a positive, and this is something we want to work towards, but instead it's a bit of a shame-based model of care. Would you say that's fair?
Okay, let's hear about that.
Well, oops, I didn't want to do this, but so it's interesting, listening. Oh, sorry, I'm a family doctor in Dawson Creek. For those of you who don't know where it is, it's 11 hours drive north from here. So we don't really have a divisions of family practice yet. We're just starting it up. We don't even have a practice coach yet. I think that's part of the problem why I haven't moved from the negative side yet. But I think I'm listening to everybody that stands on that side, and you, it sounds like you all come from big communities. So, no? Well, everybody that spoke that I, well, compared to Dawson Creek. Yeah, that's big compared to Dawson Creek. Yeah, that's why I said most of you won't even know where it is. But anyway, so a small community means there's no resources. Our hospital doesn't even have a physiotherapist. We have a hard time having a dietitian for the hospital. You know, problems like that. So I think that's why, if you ask these questions and I have to compare it to somebody that's in Langley, I will stand on that side of the room. And I don't think there's much one can do about that.
Okay. So another person who needs a hug. Okay. Let's, oh yeah, that's what we want. That's it, there we go. Awesome, I wish I could have taken a picture of that. Okay, all right, so now I'm gonna invite people to resort about onto where you think you are in terms of making progress. Okay, all right. Well, that's okay. Buddies in bad times. Okay, so a little bit, okay, this is interesting. So people are all sort of really clustered right down in the just above average. Everyone's kind of making a little bit of progress. They're not like, you know, and I don't know what your view is about progress, but in some ways that's kind of the sweet spot, right? Like if you were going, you know, if progress is happening too fast, if there's too much change, that cannot be such a good thing. So maybe I'll just ask a few people who I haven't heard from. How about Dr. Paul Graham?
Yeah, so the community representing is basically like hospital-based physicians in Chilliwack. And I mean, we've come up with lots of battles over the years in terms of being kind of pushed to the brink. And so I think we're very resilient. But in terms of making progress, it's like we kind of keep coming up against the same problem, so to speak, and this is kind of it seems like we don't solve the problems to a deep enough level for me to kind of say that we have that progress, right, in terms of kind of being able to address that.
Awesome. How about Jody?
I'm from the Surrey North Delta Division, and I think we're just kind of plodding along. It's not like we're making huge strides, but we're moving forward.
And once again, we have the same characters. So North Island, Dawson Creek, and Richmond not making a lot of progress. Okay. How about you, sir? You have now become more isolated in your particular position. So tell us about why you're right there.
Qualicum Beach, Claire Bigelow. Just my concerns is we're losing physicians, and a number of them actually have identified it as burnout. And as the population's aging in our community, acuity is rising, and we're getting quite anxious about the idea of team-based care, where physician acuity is going to go up. Our workday is not going to get shorter, and we're really trying to how we're going to work that out. And so we're just really in trouble getting doctors.
You may.
It's nice, this exercise, because I'm seeing a lot of interesting things here. Although I'm standing here and you guys are talking about shortage of doctors and difficulty in recruiting doctors and things like that, we've got too much doctors in our community. We've got I just said that. We've got too many. Wow. Now the doctors are starting to take each other's patients, limited patients for the amount of doctors, fighting under the doctors. Yeah, so I don't know how that happened. Maybe there's a problem with the PRA system, but yeah.
Interesting. Look at all the interesting things we're discovering here in this weird exercise. I know. Oh, you want to say something, Doug?
Sorry. So Doug Blackie, I'm with the Ministry of Health, and I'm the guy that oversees the PRA program. But I wanted to ask you a question just about the rural-urban split. And rurality is described as maybe less than 10,000, but we're hearing Campbell River, Qualicum Beach, Dawson Creek, Richmond. But over on this side, and I was going to say gel, maybe not so much anymore, but you know, rural communities as described under the rural subsidiary agreement, right? So anybody getting rural retention on this side of the room. So Sunshine Coast, okay. Okay, Quinnell, okay. And it is just mostly an observation of my own mind, just trying to understand, you know, the rural urban or the suburban semi-rural and whether these interpretations of resources and collegiality and all these factors, which are fascinating, by the way, that Andrew's looking at, you know, whether there's a correlation with where you are necessarily, right? Yeah. So it's been, thank you.
And also, thank you for that, Doug. And also, this is your time. So if you have other questions like Doug did and you would like to ask people to sort of indicate something, please feel free. This is, you know, I'm just your talk show host here today. okay, so let's now move. That was progress. So let's now move to the resort ourselves into where we're at for promoting collegiality. Yay! Some people are moving towards this end. you are still over here. He's just angling for more hugs.
I am married.
Okay, so I want to hear from someone that I haven't spoken to before. How about you?
Oh, so I'm Sandy from Delta, and we have a small group of about 30 to 60 family doctors there, and we all kind of chat. We talked, just very welcoming when I first came there as a new doctor. So I say we're doing pretty good.
Awesome. Okay, I want to talk to somebody who's way up at this end. How about you, sir?
So I'm Joe Coward. I'm from Pemberton, a small community, 2,500 people in the village, but serving maybe 6,000 to 8,000. So I was until the summer. I'm not there now. But so collegiality, In Pemberton, I think this might be a feature of some small communities that find joy, we work as a group. The physicians all work as a true group, not my practice, your practice. No one could steal my patient because I don't own any patients. I think that's a bit arrogant of me to do that. So everyone shares those patients. They tend to stick to one doctor, but they can migrate to another doctor if they're happier. And people work together. They have their own backs in eMERGE. They come in and help them in the middle of the night. It really functions as a group. They have a sense of we care for this community. And, you know, it seems to produce many things. I'm on a bit of a rant now, so I should stop. But it's security of healthcare provision. If a doc leaves, there's no patients without a doctor. The community of doctors just absorb it. That's how they live. And that collegiality is just fantastic.
Yeah, that does sound amazing. Yes.
Hi, my name is Atma. I'm from Creston. I spoke yesterday. I would echo that. I'm from a small community, and we have a rural hospital that we're all kind of married to. And one of the interesting things is because we all work in the same hospital and together as a group, we have no specialists, and everybody does hospital inpatients, everybody does eMERGE, everybody does clinics. So we really, everybody understands everybody's role, and I would echo that and share that because we have that common understanding, we do really promote collegiality in that regard.
We do want, I mean, the hugs can be celebrational too. They don't have to be just comforting. Okay, so now let's move on to resorting ourselves in where we marked for fostering psychological safety. Okay. Oh, look at, oh, we're really spreading out here. This is kind of interesting. Okay. Wow, this is quite interesting. So let's see, who do we have that we have not spoken to? How about yourself?
Hi, I'm Nazia Niazi. I work in Surrey. My practice is very unique because it's a very big component of it is immigrant population. And I do find that even in a big city, with the language barriers and whatnot, you do get overwhelmed with the resources. A lot of my patients don't speak English, so they do not have the option of either going to other physicians. I do see patients by referral for other GPs as well for some specialized care, but I do find myself isolating in a silo and unsupported sometimes and quite overwhelmed. I don't know where to ask her if there's any help available.
Okay. Oh, yes, right. Yes, just a reminder this is one that you kind of almost have to choke on. How about you, Aaron?
Sorry, I just came late to the group, but it looked like a good group to stand with. I think as a psychological safety perspective, I would sort of echo the comments here, not so much in the language barrier, but I think, so I'm from Victoria, worked in lots of other places, but from a big city point of view, even in my own building where there are 30 or 40 other offices, you do feel a little kind of isolated. And, you know, you're busy doing your day, and there's not a lot of time to sit back and say, oh yeah, I should really think about my psychological safety, and not even using those terms, but where would I go? And I know that there are phone numbers to call and stuff, but there's not, even within a big center with lots of resources around, sometimes you don't make that a priority.
So I guess that's one of the things about psychological safety is it's inherently relational, and if you're kind of low on the relatedness aspect, it's like, well, who would I speak up to, or who would I ask for help if that can be a barrier? What about some people up here who are on the positive end of that?
Patrick Carriage, a hospitalist in Nanaimo. So my group was the hospitalist group, and I think we do a pretty good job with collegiality. We try to take lunch together in the doctor's lounge every day. And our department meetings are very open. We get it out on the table. Feels like a family. Get to know your workmates really well.
And definitely the hospitalists in Nanaimo are somewhat known for their ability to speak up about stuff they're not happy. Okay. Just take it. How about you, sir?
Yeah, I have a bit of a story to tell. Anyway, so two of us from a community called Quesnel, which, as all you probably can remember, a few years ago was a community in crisis. So we had 9 doctors suddenly moving, so the community completely, you know, shut down. And so that's the reason why I kind of shoved this way, that way, in terms of everything, because the whole community rose up, everybody did their part, and we recruited massively, and we're back to where we were. Almost over-recruited like Dawson Creek, so we're back to functioning there. I think the magic there is the support that we had from the other doctors. It's just exactly like you say, it's all about lunches, it's all about, you know, social circumstances, meeting up with people, and just, you know, relating what can happen.
Okay. Yes, please.
So as a practice coach in that community, when I see, the only reason why I'm over here and he's over there is because I don't know what you rated as your own clinic, but I rated this as all the physicians. And the only reason why I think that psychological safety is a little bit at risk is when there's a whole bunch of new physicians who have not yet establish their relationship and feel very comfortable to say, you know what, I'm kind of drowning here. And I also rate it a little bit lower at choice because we make them do ER and we make them do these things. So some of that, they might not feel comfortable doing those things, but they're not comfortable saying, hey, you know what, I actually don't feel comfortable, but now I have to do it. And so I think that's a thing that we really have to learn when we recruit.
Awesome. That's an excellent overview of you know, a community that could be at risk for psychological safety. Okay, let's move to the last one because I want to save a little time for you guys to get back at tables, and so move to the place where your ratio of resources to demands ends up. Oh boy, we're all kind of drifting down below average here. Welcome to the dark side. Okay, that's really interesting. Oh, wow. So come back from Burnaby. Okay, so that's interesting to notice just how people moved. We slipped everything kind of down here. How about it? Would you be willing to tell us about why you moved?
Sure. I'm Vanessa Young. I'm a family physician in Victoria, and I put down the Greater Victoria Physicians as the community that I was representing in these questions. And I just felt that the demands exceed the resources, simply, big picture.
Yeah, that's what we were asking you to do, is just vibe it, you know, like, yes. Okay, how about the person who almost escaped to Burnaby?
Yeah, Graham Dodd, family doc in Kamloops. And so our community definitely has challenges with regard to demands and resources. As people probably have heard multiple times now, well over a third of our population has no family doctor. And, you know, we've lost another 3 family docs this year. So I'm looking at sending letters to Dawson Creek, right? And, you know, it is a challenge because the demand is going up, as we all have. The patient acuity is going up. You know, in the last 5 years, our eMERGE has gone from 55 to 78,000 visits a year. And that's just a reflection of what exists or what's available in the community. So challenges, but when there are challenges, there's also opportunities. And so we feel so optimistic we could be at that end of the room, but where we sit right now in this is here we are.
Oh, sure. Thanks. We do have a plan to recruit from Dawson Creek, so just nobody else take that idea. One of the things I just wanted to add around this too is we talk a lot about the distribution of resources. So if you think about the supply, we have a limited number of full-time physicians practicing longitudinal care. We have a large number of members who are family physicians in our community. So what is the distinction there? So we have people, as you know, practicing in many different ways, and Kamloops is unique because there is a lot of subspecialties as well. So we have physicians who focus specifically on substance use, or they focus specifically on obstetrics, but then they're not seeing the full spectrum, right? Or even just residential. So I think that also adds to the challenge. It's not just bodies, but it's also how they're distributed in the community. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I want to just check in with someone down from this end. And how about you, sir?
Well, Dave Dillon from Surrey North Delta. I stayed in the average section because of the way the question was asked. It was relating to everybody in BC, basically. So I think everybody is underserviced, right? And all of us need more resources. So it's average, really, right? So all of you guys should be over here. Yeah. And this should be a big lump here.
That may be true, but you know, like what we're at the very beginning. Remember, I really wanted you to check in with your gut, like what you feel, not so much what does the evidence show, right? Like this is really about trying to discover what you feel, right? Okay, so that was kind of awesome and fun. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is maybe just go back to fill up a few tables rather than going back necessarily to exactly where you were, because this is where you're going to kind of do the so what. Like now that you've discovered all of this about all the docs that are available for cherry picking from Dawson Creek, for example. Okay, so yeah, I mean, if you just can kind of just don't want to have a few people out there who have nobody to discuss with stuff with. So here's just a few. These are the questions that I would invite you to kind of look at about what, based on what you, the experiences you had, like what facet of these many sort of facets of joy are we, what inspires you to kind of contribute towards improving things in your community? And, you know, where did I notice that there were communities different from me in terms of like if I was perhaps on the below average side, what did I hear anything that inspired me to want to go talk to somebody about the ideas that they had? And what would it look like for me to learn from the people who are doing better than me in any particular area? And maybe if, would you guys who are just sitting by yourselves there mind just joining a table that, so you've got somebody to talk with? And I just don't want, tables of one are not really great when you have trying to have a discussion. Okay, so chat away, and I'm going to, you basically have a bit of time to kind of figure out so what as a result of this. I tried to frame some so what questions for you, but they may not be the right ones. So please have at it. I will ring a bell at some point and get you to kind of share what you've come about. So folks, I would like to just draw your attention to something that is on your tables, I think. It's this little handout on appreciative inquiry. I didn't put in a bunch of slides about this because I didn't really want to bore you with it, but it says Introduction to Appreciative Inquiry, a compilation of information. So that was kind of like a theme or subtext to what we were doing today, is trying a little bit to overcome our inherent negativity bias, to focus on all the things that are wrong with our system and our community, and trying to give ourselves a space to appreciate what's actually working well. And so I would just invite you, there's this kind of gives you some places to go in the literature to learn about the positive effects that can be obtained from trying to improve things by focusing on what's working well and pull yourself towards that, rather than focusing on what's wrong and trying to fix or eliminate it, right? Those are two very valid ways of working towards improvement of the universe. And the fix what's wrong works really well in the emerge department when somebody's, you know, got a transected femoral artery and you need to just like stop the bleeding and get them hemodynamically stable. You're not going to kind of go, oh, I'd like to imagine what really good hemodynamic stability would look like, you know, and how can I propel myself towards that? No, you're just going to fix the problem, right? So that is the right time to be using the problem-solving approach. But if you don't think that there's any other way to improve the world other than the problem-solving approach, then you can also run into some unintended effects. So if you look at appreciative inquiry as a way of just kind of trying to focus our attention on what is good and working well, and you saw here that we have lots of places where things are work aspects of our life together as in a medical community is actually working well. Most of the time, most people were on the above average side of the line, which is interesting. And so I'm hoping that, like, my goal was to try to create some space for opportunities for, you know, people like Dawson Creek to feel, oh wow, there are some people I can, who can pull me up the side of the mountain, you know, and help me get up there, rather than sort of so much commiseration. Although, you know, hugs are good. So what I would like to do also is I'd like to kind of, because this is the first time we've done a session exactly like this, I would like to just invite you to chip in on how it worked for you or didn't work by kind of doing what I'm sure Doug Blackie will recognize as my favorite technique for that, which is to, and I don't think I have time to check in with every single person in the room, although I would like to, but I would like to just call on certain random people that I will select to chip in with something that worked well for you today about this session and something that you think it would be even better if we did it differently next time. So I am going to ask you, sir, to tell, see if what your thoughts are.
I think it was great because I think, you know, it's always reassuring when you get to speak in a group with other people, so you share your common concerns and you get that sense of collegiality amongst and understanding and the empathy from others.
Okay. Good. Okay. Was there anything that you thought would make it even better?
I think it would be nice to have kind of maybe more practical takeaway tools to use because the dialogue is good, but you know, with your expertise, it would be nice to have maybe some more take home.
Okay, more take home things. All right. I would offer you that, you know, if any of you feel inspired to do something like this, go ahead and, you know, it's yours. Just, you know, I was going to say steal it, but it's like, it's not, you're not stealing it. Just use it. How about yourself?
One of the things that I really liked was hearing the people who were doing well, feeding back to the people who weren't really doing well and giving suggestions. And just, it's great to hear other people's points of view and what's working for them.
Was there anything that could have been better for you?
Again, I think it would go along with your comment about practical tools, take home, what can we do when we get back to our communities?
Were you able to actually get a few ideas about what you could do from these table groups? That was kind of what I had hoped. I left the hardest part to you guys to figure out on your own. Okay. How about you, sir? What are your thoughts on this?
I'm gonna pass.
Oh, good. That was awesome. I wanted to make sure that people had felt like that was safe to pass, and I forgot to say that. So thank you for reminding me of that. How about you?
I think it was a good exercise just to kind of, you know, break down the silos of the communities. Like every community kind of works in their own area. They don't really know what the rest of them are doing, so they have no way of measuring themselves, but they have no way of knowing what the need of the other communities are. So it's a great way to network. It's a great way to kind of come together and talk about how to problem solve, which is going to help everybody out.
Excellent. Was there something that could have worked better for you?
More dialogue time. I think we're, yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I liked hearing from everyone in the room. Like, it's interesting to hear the different stories. And when you have everyone, if you have a big group where people are volunteering information, then you generally hear from the same people. But when you're walking around with the microphone and handing it to people, like, I generally wouldn't put up my hand to answer a question. But you start hearing more opinions from different people. And yeah, that was pretty valuable.
Okay, so you kind of like the quality of participation. How about yourself?
I thought at first that seeing everyone go through the series of questions and then in the lining up would be a bit boring, but turns out that it helped reveal some patterns as well as answers to individual questions. So I thought that was really interesting. And I would find it really helpful if the definition of the question were up on the board again, because I found some of them a little less intuitive explanations. So when I was trying to remember why I had rated myself a certain way, it you know, was a memory issue for me, maybe my age.
Okay, thank you for that. That's a very specific suggestion that I think I can actually implement next time, so that's awesome. What's that?
Second as well.
You would second that. Okay, put the definitions back up when we're walking back around. Okay, good idea. See, well, I will do that next time. And thanks, I appreciate that it was more interesting than you thought it would be. That's always good. Yeah, yeah.
Hi, I'm Carol Pomeroy from Mission. I thought it was a really good way to get people in one area and interacting rather than all spread out. It's very sneaky and effective. I also went, and when I filled out my forms, I actually did two. I did one for the group practice that I'm in and one for my community. And it was kind of interesting exercise for me to think, like, how is it each thing, like, within my group of, like, 8 or 9 physicians and then in the community as a whole trying to, or in the division, and then my experience within the division might also be different than someone else's experience in the division. For example, like, the demands are high on everyone, but I feel, like, quite supported and resourced in the division, but then I'm also very involved. And so I've got the high demands, which is the stress, but then I also feel, you know, privileged to have the resources of our staff, and then also, you know, being able to come to forums like this. So, yeah, so it's challenging but exciting.
Awesome.
I just wanted to thank you for enabling some time for us to talk about this. To me, I think this is the foundational piece for all the work we're trying to do. If we don't have this piece figured out and right and supported, then everything we build is just going to fall. So, thank you.
Good. Okay, so we're almost out of time. Anybody have anything that they would like to share before we kind of wrap it up? Yes, I see a hand over here.
Probably sort of stating the obvious. When we were over there and we did a little exercise, we mark our lines and we're all kind of working hard. When, sorry to pick on Peter, when you injected the humor with your hug, I felt something happen within our group. Something changed, our tongues were looser, and we gelled. And I just think in our day-to-day, as we do often difficult work with groups of people, we don't use that humor enough. So I want to thank Peter for that.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I have to say, regarding hugs, I was really disappointed when the College of Physicians and Surgeons came out with that cold, hard guideline that it is never appropriate to hug a patient. I don't know what you guys think, but I think that's baloney. Yeah, I don't know. I think hugs are awesome. Okay, so the last thing for me is I would invite you, you might have really want to take this home. I appreciate that, but if you would be so generous as to perhaps leave the sheets that you filled out on the table, we would like to kind of compile them and then play them back to you, if you'd be willing to do that. I think that's it. Okay, done. Yeah. Okay, so there's how to get a hold of me if you have any questions, comments, concerns. My email and phone number and stuff are there. And otherwise, we're done 5 minutes early. You feel free to, if you want to extend your dialogue time, go ahead. But otherwise, I really thank you for your awesome participation.